Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the 503 for the Fans podcast. This is Noah.
What up, guys? It's Sam.
What's going on, guys? It's Fulton.
And you guys are listening to episode 20. Today we're going to be going to the first two games against Denver. We're going to be talking about a little bit of game one, but mostly game two. And we'll be giving series predictions and game three predictions. So let's dive right into it. Blazers came on top 97-90 last night. It was probably the ugliest playoff game of the season. Probably one of the ugly playoff games of the playoff games that have happened, first and second round. I mean, there was just a lot of scrap ball, a lot of gym ball. I mean, what was your initial thoughts in the game, Sam?
I thought it was a super scrappy game. Dame couldn't really find a rhythm. Both teams were playing really good defense. Like I said, it was just super scrappy, a lot of physicality between both teams. Ennis and Jokic went at each other all night long. I mean, Collins was getting super physical as well. How about you, Fulton?
Yeah, like you said, a lot of great defense by both sides. No one could really catch a flow except for Ennis in the first half. He really was going at Jokic in the first beginning, and it really gave us a little momentum going in the second half.
Yeah, definitely. And my first thoughts about the game are, I mean, how does Portland win this game when Dame has 14 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds, shoots 5 of 17, 1 of 7 3-point and 3 of 4 from the line. Initially, you look at the box score, and if you don't watch the game and you look at the box score, you think, how does Portland win this game? Because Denver shot horrible. They shot 21% from 3-point land, 35 from field goal. I mean, Blazers didn't play any better, but Denver, wow, they really were clanking. And the clank master of the night had to be Jamal Murray. I mean, 6 of 18 from the field, 2 of 8 from three-point land. He re-injured his leg, and he looked horrible out there. I mean, what was your thoughts on Murray, Fulton?
He had a lot of open shots in the beginning, and then he was just not knocking them down. He was getting really frustrated, and I think that took a toll on his whole gameplay. But just the backcourt in general, him and Gary Harris. Gary Harris didn't make a three. He was 0 for 5 from a three, and so that definitely took a toll on the backcourt. And, like, they're used to hitting a couple threes at least, and that really put him in a hole when we took a 15-point lead.
I saw something crazy that Jokic was he could have had 20 converted assists.
Wow.
But only 7 were converted. He could have had 20 of them, but that's how many shots they missed. I mean, yes, that's a nice stat to pull out, but if they're not hitting shots, I saw something also on ESPN earlier today that the 4 games that Murray has had bad games in the playoffs, they've lost all 4 games. And it shows if Murray's not on, they're not a good team. Even with Jokic not playing. I mean, even with Jokic going off. I mean, they lost game 6 against the Spurs. Jokic had a 40-point triple-double, and Murray had a horrible game.
Do you think Terry takes into Jamal Murray's, do you think he takes that into consideration with the next game and on to the series?
I think that's what the initial game 1 and game 2 difference was. I think they let Jamal do way too much game 1. They let him dictate the pick and roll. They let him pretty much do anything he wanted. And you saw with game 2, Mo Harkless was on him from the start. I mean, Mo Harkless goes down with an ankle injury, but somehow Murray is hurt himself, but still we played fantastic defense on Murray, and that's definitely a difference. I think with Denver, if Murray's not playing well, I mean, that's a great question. If Murray's not playing well, Denver's not a good team, and that's a lot of reliance on a young player like Murray, and it's kind of hard. The difference between this is what I'll say, and this is kind of the beginning of our pod, but this is kind of I'll say this. The difference between Jokic and Dame is Jokic's best attribute, what he's elite at, is passing. What Dame is elite at is scoring. When your team's not scoring well and you need a bucket getter, I mean, Jokic can give you that, but still, Jokic wasn't there last night. He was very passive. 16 points off 7 of 17 shooting. And he wasn't. And when they needed him, I wasn't seeing them. I didn't see them go down him down to him in the post. I mean, what was your thoughts on Jokic last night, Fulton?
Well, first off, Cantor played phenomenal defense on that guy all night long. Like probably the best I've ever seen him play in his career. Honestly, he was bodying him up, contesting all shots that he had to put up, and even the three ball. He was coming up on the three, which I loved seeing, and it really put a toll on Jokic, and it didn't really let him adjust to the game, and he couldn't settle in, and so he had an off night.
Yeah.
Especially with his shoulder and taking that into consideration, like how hard he played, it's just that it just shows that he wants to be there, and he really wants to win for the team, just not for himself, too.
I mean, exactly, and something crazy was, I think Cantor even said that he didn't get a shot game one. He wanted to test it out and see how he could. I mean, you got to have some balls to do that. And especially and when, exactly. I mean, the like second point, his second field goal of the game was a dunk. And he immediately as he, that was game one, immediately as he comes down, he winces. I'm like, and he just taps his head. He's like, that's a mental mistake. I'm like, well, you obviously, man. Yeah. But anyways, it was a fantastic game for the Blazers to win. I mean, gutsy, gutsy win for the Blazers last night. And you got to be proud of them. No matter how many offensive rebounds they didn't get, I mean, how, no matter if Dame didn't play well, I mean, that's a game you had to get. You can't afford to go to a down 2-0. You steal home court. And we'll break down some stats a little bit. I mean, CJ had 20 points, six assists, six rebounds, 8 of 20 from the field, 3 of 7 from three-point land. I mean, again, I feel like CJ in the playoffs has really gave these gave OKC all those daggers late in the game, and especially last night he gave a couple of daggers to Denver.
Yeah, he's really been coming through late game, like you said. Like he wasn't feeling too great in the first half, and then come fourth quarter he just started hitting the clutch time shots, and then it was on from there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, exactly. We'll take it.
Yeah, just from his ankle injury from the end of the regular season, it's kind of crazy how elusive he can be right now in the playoffs and still so crazy at making crafty shots, and it's just insane how much he's, you know, bringing to the table.
I
know.
I mean, who would have thought? I mean, CJ has had problems with consistency in his career. And that's not, I mean, a lot of players have struggled with that. So you can't knock him down too hard for it. But he's really, I mean, game one, he wasn't all there. I mean, Dame went completely off and CJ struggled. But still, I mean, game two, 20 points, it's not what he's mostly capable of. But those are important points in a game that's totally scrappy that didn't even reach the hundreds. So, I mean, you got to take it from that. Let's talk about the man of the night off the bench, Rodney Hood. What an acquisition by Neil O'Shea during before the All-Star break. I mean, Stauskas or Hood? Stauskas ain't bringing this in the playoffs. I'm sorry.
No, not at all. And, I mean, Rodney's always been a guy that I've liked his game. And I was just so excited when I saw that we acquired him. Like, that's crazy. And he just adds more scoring to our team that needs that off the bench. And, like you said, 17 points off the bench last night in a playoff game where the starters were slacking a little bit and we needed somebody to pick up the slack, and he did it.
Yeah, and, I mean, it was 15. It was 15 last night, 17 the night before, but still, I mean, just to add to that, it's just two games where he gives us 37 points. Yikes. That's
off
hard.
Off the bench.
Exactly. In two games, two pivotal games, when his game high against OKC was 5 points.
Damn.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, he wasn't there against OKC, and he's came out and he's exploited some matchups. I mean, Jamal Murray, Monte Morris. I mean, I don't know who.
He has height on just about all their guards.
Exactly.
I mean, he's 6'7", 6'8".
I mean,
It's hard to block him, and he's going to shoot over most of their guys' heads.
They're not going to put Torrey Craig or Gary Harris on him. I mean, they're going to glue those guys to Dame and CJ. So, Rodney Hood, I mean, even Seth Curry, guys that can create for themselves are going to eat in this series.
If he's creating and shooting like that, it's going to be hard for Denver to find a guy to pick him up, especially if we're playing him with Dame and CJ on the court.
Exactly. And I'll ask you this, Fulton. Do you think Myers, I mean, he plays a good amount of minutes game one, comes game two, doesn't play any. Zach Collins has a solid game two. He gets 17 minutes, 10 points. I mean, what do you think Stott's mindset is with Collins and Myers? Like, what do you think he goes like to choose between them?
I think his guy off the bench is going to be Zach, you know, most of the time. But when it comes down to, you know, when they have two bigs on the court, I personally, I feel like we have to have Myers and Zach both on the court to succeed, even on rebounds, on, you know, playmaking from the post, on offense. I think we both have to have them both. But last night, I think Zach was fine with, you know, going against Mason alone because he didn't have another big on the court. It was kind of a small lineup when Mason came on. And so that's why I think Jake got more minutes, and it kind of allowed Terry not to play Myers and exactly. Zach have a little big night.
Good answer. I mean, great answer. I think obviously Zach isn't fully there. When it's like Jokic and Millsap and they try to go a Collins Aminu lineup, that's disgusting with Jokic and Plumlee out there.
Yeah.
Because you slide Zach on Jokic and Aminu on Plumlee, and Plumlee's played pretty damn well in the series so far. You got to give him credit for his first two games. He's brought some energy off of the bench for Denver. So, I mean, tip your hat to him. So let's move on from here. Let's talk about Denver a little bit. Jokic, he comes... First game, he looks unstoppable. I mean, 37 first game. I mean, Damian Lillard had 39, but it was like a quiet 39. I mean, they lose, so it doesn't go totally noticed. But Jokic, 37. He pretty much had a triple-double. And last night he had 16. I mean, what do you think the Blazers changed within game one and game two? I think what the Blazers changed so far was blitzing him more. I mean, making him take away his right hand, make him pass and more uncomfortably, because when he's passing fluently and he's just slinging it, I mean, the Denver's a scary team. And if they're making transition threes, I mean, what was your thoughts, Sam, on the difference between game one and game two?
Like you said, just taking away his right hand. But I mean, Ennis being more tenacious and, like, he was just really just dogging him, getting in there, letting him bump him, like, bumping him back, just getting dirty. And if he keeps up with his play, I think that is the main thing to stop Jokic, honestly.
Yeah. What was your thoughts, Paul?
Yeah, basically exactly what you said, but even more on, like, when Aminu would switch on him, like the doubles they would have, they just got way more aggressive than they were game one. I just think they had a long break and they kind of were still coming back off that, you know, 5-day rest.
You got a 5 days to
exactly.
party.
That's
to party too.
Exactly. Coming off that series, of course.
Exactly. I mean, you're going to, there's as much as like you love to have 5 days off. That's very luxurious especially for Ennis's shoulder. I mean, that probably gave him some valuable time to get elite rehab from the NBA, and I mean, it's showing. I mean, he's dealing through injury, I mean, some pain, but he's out there. So that 5 days off definitely did do something for us. I think the first game, you get your feet wet in that series. Denver's coming off a game seven win, their first playoff series win, and I think it was like their second playoff series win in the last 20 years.
Yeah,
something crazy like that.
They just shot unreal. Like,
exactly,
unreal.
Exactly. I mean, game that. Kudos to them.
Yeah,
and Jokic had his game, and they took game one. I mean, you go into this series knowing that you don't have home court. You want to split the first two games. It's not realistic to think, hey, we're gonna go take two games in Denver where we've never played well, never. And no, it's not realistic. So I think taking game two was very pivotal. And let's talk about some things to talk about. Let's get back to Mo Harkless. Sprains his right ankle. It was announced earlier today. He's day to day, questionable for game three. If he's out, who steps up? I'll go to you first, Fulton.
I think it's going to be Rodney off the bench because Terry is not going to put Rodney in the starting lineup just based off the scoring that would put off the bench if that happened. Because I don't think Seth could carry that big of a load by himself, and I think they're going to put Jake in there. And I think Jake's going to do fine on defense. I think he's not going to have much of an offensive role unless he has a wide open three, maybe a slash. But it's going to be Dame time in Portland.
Oh, yeah. And especially Dame coming off a 14-point outing. It's going to be straight up Dame time. I mean, who steps up for your mind? I think Rodney, me.
Yeah.
What about you, Sam?
I mean, Rodney, honestly, because he's right now he's hitting the most shots. He looks the most fluent. I could see Seth stepping up, but the matchups that they have for Steph are pretty, they're pretty good, pretty, they're probably pretty comfortable with him, so they're able to take Seth out a little bit of the game. So, I mean, I would definitely agree with Rodney.
Okay, yeah, and well, let's talk about this, and we'd be kind of dishing out. I mean, how important Kanter and Hood have been in this series? Obviously, if you don't have Kanter, we're not in this series, I don't think. I don't think if we – I mean, Dame propelled us so well against OKC, but, I mean, you got to give Kanter a big kudos against OKC.
Well, yeah. How many times did he have, a 15-10 game?
I mean, first game he had 24-15. It was something like that.
I personally don't think we would have won the series if without Kanter.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't think it would have happened.
I mean, Dame can go off all he wants, and he's done that all his career, but, yeah.
You have to have help at some point.
Exactly. And even last night showed that this team is not all about Dame heroics, though. I mean, you got to give it to him.
Our team play, when Dame doesn't shoot well, if our team play is that good, we can definitely hang with Denver. And, I mean, it showed that we can win also.
And Kanter and Hood, I mean, they've been MVPs of the series so far. And you got to give it to him. I mean, Hood giving 37 points, 17 first night, and 15 the second. You got to tip your hat off to that. I mean, I don't know if we can keep them this in the next season, and we'll talk about that probably a different pod. But you don't want to think about that right now. You just got to think about this round, maybe extending to the Western Conference Finals, which was would be an insane thought at the beginning of this season to even think we're to be here. Me and Fawn were just talking about this. We're talking about Blazer basketball in May. I mean, that's a big thing for Blazer fans. It is. Huge thing. And you got to appreciate this season. You got to soak it all in. And as a Blazer fan, I love it. And let's talk about this. I mean, Jamal Murray injured his leg. Same one he did as against the Spurs. It's kind of like a Charlie horse where you get kneed in the leg and it completely just dead legs you. I mean, I've got a lot of these playing basketball growing up. Not a fun injury. And he re-injured it last night. They don't got 2 days off. I mean, Golden State and Houston have 3 days off in between games, but somehow when we go back to our place, we have one game. I don't know when the 2 day comes. I think it's maybe after game three.
No, it's after game six. I think it's going into game seven.
Oh, it's 2 days? It's 2 day. That's weird. Yeah. Why would they get, I don't know why they would give Houston and Golden State 3 days in between games. That's weird. But anyways, I mean, Jamal Murray injures his leg. What's your thoughts? I mean, do you think that's going to affect them or?
I think it definitely could, but I think it could also, you know, open up Gary Harris to bring the ball up and allow him to kind of spot up and shoot more, and it could become a deadly thing for them if we don't guard it. Say we crash the board and then he's just sitting out there, and I don't know. It could. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, what about you, Sam?
I mean, he was walking with a limp. He didn't look very comfortable. But, it's just a dead leg. It's just a bruise. I mean, he can ice it and be fine. He might get it re-injured, but I think he'll be fine for the series.
Yeah, I don't think he'll miss anything, but I think it's definitely something to look after. And it's definitely something that I think will affect him because it's looking like it's a little more serious. I don't know if it's initially. It might be a deep bruise. It might be something like not something that's. I mean, he was really hobbling in the fourth quarter. I was surprised he was out there. I mean, Blazers, if he's hobbling like that, look for them to take advantage of that. And let's move on. Let's talk about did Portland take serious control after last night's win?
I definitely felt a momentum shift. I think that coming home with that W definitely gives us control of the series at this moment. But at any moment, that can switch with an L, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. And what are you following?
I definitely feel like it's a big, big momentum shifter coming back to Portland for two games after they just lost one. It would be one thing if we took game one and they won game two. But I feel like them getting game one and them shooting like they did in game two, coming to Portland, oh, I'm excited.
And that's what I've been saying and been thinking. Like, I almost feel like it's when it comes to winning game one, game two, or if you're at a different place, I always feel like winning that second one is always better than winning the first one because you can win the first one, win the second, and their momentum could carry into your place. I mean, yes, you would want to win game one because that's a huge momentum shifter. But still, I mean, winning game two and going back to your own pad where you have not lost this entire playoffs, you are were one of the best home teams in the NBA during the regular season, and Dame goes absolutely off at Moda. I mean, yeah, that's an ideal situation. I mean, the next out of the next four games, the Blazers have three games at home.
Exactly.
That's
a great situation.
That's huge. That's huge. You could literally win. You could literally win the series at home. Just three wins at home. You could. Wow. And that's a Western Conference Finals. Yeah. I don't even know what to talk about that. I don't. we'll wrap this pot up. Here's a couple last things. Game three predictions and series predictions. Ooh. I'll go first. I mean, okay. After last night, I think the Blazers win in six. I think that if the Blazers take, I think the Blazers take the next two at home, and I think Denver will be desperate game five. I think they'll win at home, and then I think the Blazers will solidify it up game six, and I think that's game six for me. What about you?
I think we win tomorrow, and I think we win in six also. Drop the game in Denver, probably win it back at home.
This is a little ballsy prediction, but I'm going to go, if we win both of these next two at home, I don't think they're going to have the momentum enough to overtake Dame in that game five. I think he's just going to end it. He's just going to say, no, we're done here.
Okay.
I kind of feel it,
hot
honestly.
Hot take. I'm not even hot take. My hot take.
That's how much confidence I have.
Yeah. And okay, we'll leave it there. I mean, that's a good prediction. And we'll wrap it up with a random fact. I mean, if a series is tied 1-1, the team who wins game three wins the series 78% of the time. So, yeah, you can tell tomorrow is a huge game. Huge game. If they go up 2-1, it's a huge advantage. Everything's on your side. All the pressure's on them. So kudos to the Blazers for putting themselves in this situation. I mean, they got a picture-perfect bracket this year, and go Blazers. I mean, what a season. So we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure to follow us on our Twitter at 503BlazerFans. Make sure to follow Sam at SamBeyondDat, D-A-T, and JustinFaultland7. And, yeah, thank you for tuning in, guys.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Peace out.
Yeah, peace out. I got cash, I lay you off. I'm in the dirty bind, y'all.